Amen. Thank you very much. We'll be hearing from Brother Paul tonight, and very thankful that they are able to be with us all day today. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter number 8. Just kind of a word here that came to a realization just as we were singing, and then this morning as I was going over this text, I know what's going on in the world. I don't have to tell you, so I'm not going to. I'm not going to refer to politics today. I'm not going to refer to the state of our nation. I'm not, so if you came to hear that, I'm not going to do that. When we come together, we're supposed to exalt our holy God. And we don't do that often. That's not our drive. It's not our thought process. And this psalm should remind us of just who it is that we call Father. It should remind us, no matter what's going on in the world, He is God. And there's nothing more important than remembering and knowing that. Nothing. Because when you get the right view of God, you can actually cast all your cares upon Him because you know He cares for you. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. That's the last thing I'll ever say about politics here this morning, because we're going to just focus on God for a few minutes. The Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this psalm, for the reminder of our attitude, our mind, the way that we think, the things we dwell upon, and that when we truly look at you for who you are, the only conclusion we have is, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in the earth. We're very thankful that you're our God, that you're our provider, and God, that you desire a relationship with us. And I pray, if there's any person here today who's never accepted Christ as their Savior, that the music that's already been sung, lifting up our Savior, lifting up you, our Father, that they'd realize their need for salvation as they hear this message and who you are. And then, Lord, I pray for those who are saved. And I know there's many burdens here today with many things. And many of these burdens would be lifted if we'd simply look at you through the eyes of the psalmist here, the psalmist David. May we agree with him. May we rejoice with him today. And may you be exalted, glorified, and lifted up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the title, the Bible says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. Gittith is an ancient word. There are many people who believe they have the answer to what it is. But there's only Two other times it's used in the Bible, in Psalm 81, Psalm 84. And every one of those, all three of these psalms together, all offer up some type of exalted praise to who God is, what He's done, what He will do, and it's a joyous thing. So it's believed that it was used at the time of certain feasts, at the end of certain feasts, especially after the renewal of worship, when they got back into the land after being taken captive by Babylon, and they went back and built the temple, that it was more obvious to them that the Lord was their Lord and that He did care for them. This morning we're going to look at the scripture and see what the scripture says specifically about the wording here. And then the first way we're going to look at it here, we're going to look at it two times. And so that means the message is going to be two times as long. And so and I just wanted to let you settle in for that. But the first way we're going to look at it is we're going to break it down, and we're going to look at it from a practical standpoint. So how should this psalm change our minds? I'm certain if you're like me, let's just be honest. The first thing I reach for in the morning is not always my Bible. And if you're looking at me saying, well, you're the pastor, I can't believe you'd even say that. I'm just being honest. Do you know where I'm going to see God every day? In my Bible. I'm telling you, every time I read my Bible is when I get under conviction and when I start thinking like this. He says, oh Lord, oh Lord, capital L-O-R-D. This is not an accident. It's not a repeat. It's an explanation. Oh Lord God Almighty. Oh Lord God, creator of the universe. Oh Lord God that deserves to rule and reign and to tell men how to live. Oh Lord God that has given us the law that we're supposed to obey. Oh Lord God, you. That's who he's referring to. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. I want you to note here, it doesn't say in the beginning, God and so many people. It doesn't say and in the beginning, God and the great bang. It doesn't say in the beginning, God and Satan. It says in the beginning, God. Alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit stepped out into nothing and said, let there be light. And there was light. You can get confused and caught bogged down in the verses that are in that, or you can just see it for what it is. What the psalmist is saying, your vision, my vision of God, first and foremost, if we're going to agree with this section of Scripture and we're going to live according to this section of Scripture and get our minds out of the world, we're going to have to agree that God has the right to be the Lord God Almighty. There is nothing else. There is no one else. There's nothing to worship. There's no man to worship. And that's a big problem. We get our eyes on men instead of keeping them on God. And so we stop trusting God because we stop trusting men. And we seek our own way to solve problems. If you and I trusted God, we would really let God just handle stuff. We would. The scripture that's written, because I know in some of your minds you're going, well, in the New Testament it says that we're supposed to, share our faults and that we're supposed to go to one another. You know why? Because we don't have the right view of God and we don't trust Him. He is Creator God. Do you know He created the earth without us? He didn't even think about us being part of creation. I really believe that's why He made man last, so man wouldn't have suggestions. Think about it. Animals aren't going to give Him any response. Thanks for the grass. Thanks for the fruit. Appreciate that. We want us to go forth and multiply. That's no problem. Man's created, and the next chapter, everything blows up. God is a... Understand this. God didn't make the earth so that you and I would feel comfortable. He made the earth to glorify Him and everything in it. So when man came along, man's responsibility was to recognize Him as God, Creator God. To recognize that He had the right and still does in 2021 to dictate our thinking and our direction. Exodus chapter number 34. This is a great passage of scripture. If you don't normally turn in your Bible, please do it today, because we're talking about God here, and it's what we need to see from His Word. So as you know, this story, in fact, Brother Lucas gave reference to this last week, and while I was listening, I thought, man, don't cover that section of Scripture so very tightly. But the Bible says, of course, Moses told God, I want to see you. God says, you can't see me. I can't show you my face because no man shall see me and live. And so God said, I'll put you in a cleft of the rock. When I put you in the cleft of the rock, I'll cover you with my hand, and then as I pass by, you can see my hinder parts. Now, I don't know if you read your Bible with imagination or thought, but I want you to think about that no man can look on God in this condition. You and I, if you're seeing God, you're dead. That's really ultimately what God is saying there. So here's what the Bible says here in verse number 6. And the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's exactly why I went there, because this is the Lord God Almighty, passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord God. Now listen how it describes the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord. Notice how that Lord changed there. I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people and a pardon. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Moses knows that he is addressing the Creator and asking of the Creator something that until he saw him, it was not evident that when he spoke to him, it needed to be in an attitude of reverence. Because he is the Lord God. No, no, no. He's the Lord God who is the only one who can show mercy and grace. He's the only Lord God who can show long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children until the third and the fourth generation. Moses recognized at this point of interaction with God that God had the right to be this God. There is no other God that can claim this. When you begin to think of, as a believer, why should I forgive? If God, the Creator, can forgive, you, His child, better forgive. If you can't forgive, you're not looking at God as who He is. Well, I'm just telling you, we do not look at God in this light. We've been taught to look at God in a light of familiarity, in a light of buddy-buddy, he's our Father, and I cry, Abba, Father. Yes, but you know what makes that so effective in our lives is that we don't have the right to call Him Abba, Father, in and of ourselves. We cannot reach up high enough to God and get anything from Him. We in ourselves cannot please God. Why? He is Creator God. He has the right to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He has the right to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has the right to say, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has the right to say, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to note there in that instruction, there's no Muhammad, there's no alternatives. It's the Lord, it's Jesus Christ. There is no other name. There's none other name. Why? Because God said so. And when God says something, his word will not fall to the ground. It will not return unto him void. But back in our text, he's not just the capital L-O-R-D, but there in that second part, it says our Lord. And it's L-O-R-D, little L-O-R-D. Now, don't mistake this. In the King James specifically, that's the reason they keep this like this, that they have the capitalized and the non-capitalized, so that you would understand the difference. And the difference is found in Exodus chapter number 6. So if you'll go there, if you're already still in Exodus. Exodus chapter number 6. This is a great passage of Scripture. If you've never come across it, you need to read your Bible. This is incredible. Because God is talking to Moses. Moses is upset because Pharaoh's not acting like he's supposed to. And so the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter number 6, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. So how did they know him only? Creator God. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, with great judgments, and I will take you to me. If you want to know what Jehovah means, he's explaining it. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. So the relationship between God and his people is changing from this God who is unreachable to now a God who has heard their cry, has seen what's going on with their punishment and their captivity with the Egyptians, and he recognizes it and he says, I want you to know that I'm going to be your Lord. I'm going to be your God. So when he says, O Lord, our Lord, it's significant because David recognizes that he's not just the Lord God Almighty, but he is a personal Lord. Just in case you and I need some reminding, in Romans chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 1, therefore be justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand that God, the Lord God Almighty, whose greatest desire was to be recognized and glorified as the Lord God Almighty, recognizes that man in sin cannot glorify him, so he gave us an ability, or the ability, to glorify him through the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to call him our Lord. Our God. Look at Romans chapter number 8, right there over just a couple of pages. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 15. The Bible says this, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." How is it going to be revealed in us? Because the God, Creator God, God Himself, made a way for you and I to glorify Him here and to glorify Him in heaven by being in heaven. So He is our God. It's a very personal relationship. He's not just aloof. He's not untouchable. He hears. He answers. He weeps. He gets angry. He wants to correct. He is Abba Father. It's a term of endearment where He's not just an unreachable Father. He is your Father, my Father. Look, we're talking about getting the right view of God. You can sit here and say, "Well, I know that. But do you live like that? And I'll draw the line there and say, most of us do not. Not that I'm looking at other people. I know me. Here's what something happens. I immediately go into worry mode. I immediately go into what am I going to do mode. I don't go to God who is my Father. I know He's God. In fact, that's our problem. We treat Him like He's the Lord God Almighty. Some of us do. But most of us do not treat Him like Abba Father. Because we don't recognize He doesn't want just the Lord God Almighty relationship. He wants the Abba Father relationship. That's why He says, "Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." The Lord Almighty, that's the key. The Lord God Almighty wants to be your Father. But it's not just in salvation, it's a realization of the mind that there's something different in our relationship with Him. And it only comes one way, by recognizing we can't do it in ourselves. He had to do it for us in Jesus Christ. If we go back to our text, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers..." Please listen to the words. We read them, but listen. When I consider. When's the last time you considered these things? Well, we should take them for granted. Listen, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. What? God touched the earth that you and I live on. He formed man out of the dust of the earth with His hands. He formed it. He took the rib from Adam and He formed woman out of the rib with His hands. He didn't speak those into existence. He took time. He touched. When I consider your hands, your fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with the glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. First of all, he says there, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. You remember Jesus said these words when He spoke in Matthew 11, 25 and 21, 16, when He was talking about the disciples having greater knowledge of who Jesus was than the actual religious people who studied the Word of God. Do you know what? Religion will get you nowhere. Sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to Him is what's going to teach you who God is. And they were sitting, listening, absorbing, and Jesus was thanking God that the babes had learned that. But let's just take this a little bit further. Have you ever heard a little child pray? Have you ever listened? Don't we kind of chuckle when they pray? Yeah, it's because they pray for everything. They pray for things that we don't think about praying for. And it goes on and on. And it's time to eat. And I've been present where it's been said, okay, that's enough. Really, is it? Because out of the babes and out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Have you ever heard, did you watch the kids sing on the 20th? They're still singing those same songs. If you watch, they're walking around singing those same songs. If you have some of them in your house, they're still singing those same songs. Well, Christmas is over. Yeah, but those songs, joy to the world, the Lord. It's because they're not like us. See, do you know it takes intent for an adult to give praise to God? It takes intent and forethought. It's natural with babes and sucklings. You know why? Well, who else would you praise? If they've been taught to praise God, then they will praise God. Isn't it more our forte as adults? And I think, I mean, I'm speaking to myself here, so I don't. Maybe you praise God for everything. But buddy, you hit your hand with a hammer. Are you praising God right then? Joy to the world, the Lord just hit my hand. Is that our first thought when somebody cuts us off in traffic? It isn't. So that's why he says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Now, this will kind of remember that because it is speaking specifically of Jesus there. That's exactly why we reference that. Jesus is describing the disciples versus the highly educated religious people. In both cases, he thanks God for their knowledge. And then this verse says that God's in forethought. Think about this. Hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies? So the reason babes and sucklings, and here's what the idea is. People who have no idea how to praise the Lord, have no idea how to recognize the Lord, when they understand and see God and they begin to glorify God for being, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name above all the earth, and your throne is above the heavens. When we begin to recognize that, we are babes and sucklings because we have no idea of the excellence of God. There's not a person in here who can study the Bible enough to understand the excellence of God and the glory of God and exactly who God is. And as we read, come on, we get lethargic, That's why we judge people so easily. That's why we're so easily distracted with everything in the world, because we do not consider who God really is. If we did, we couldn't do anything but praise Him all the time. Well, this happened and it was horrible. Well, you know what though? I just thank God that I know that He knows that. Well, what about this? Do you think, I'm telling you, God knows it. It doesn't mean He wanted it to happen. Sin causes bad things to happen in the world. But our God knows what we're going through. Our Lord knows. That's why His name is excellent. And you and I should be able to immediately begin to praise Him and thank Him and glorify Him. In verses number 3-8, it just very simple. When you look at the heavens, what do you think of? When you look at the trees, what do you think of? I can't see the colors that change and fall. I know people try to explain it to me. We go Christmas light looking. I go, what color is that? They're, oh, it's beautiful. It's purple. It's red. It's green. What do you see? White? All I see is lights. Oh, it's too bad. But when I look in the heavens, doesn't matter what color it is. I don't. All I go, Have you ever been out in the middle of nowhere, there's no light, and you look up at the heavens, and can you see the billions of stars? And know that God, with his hands, with his mouth, spoke everything into existence. You can't believe for a minute that God didn't do it, unless you're trying to not have God as your Lord. That's the only way you can reject him, is if you ignore his handiwork. If you think of this in verse number 4, what is man that you would visit him? What is man that you would have any thought for him, God? Please, listen to me. When you look at the handiwork of God, humility is always the byproduct of it. We're so full of pride, and it's the reason that it presses us to do and say things that we shouldn't do or say, because we're looking at things from our perspective. But when you look at this, God accepts you for who you are, and he spoke the world into existence, and he created man with his own hands. When I see that, it immediately should make my mind humble and my attitude humble. Like what happened to Moses, he immediately, the Bible says, bowed his head. Not worthy. Remember, what did he want to do? He wanted to see God. When God started mentioning his name, Moses went, no. Remember Job? At the end of Job, he speaks to Job, and God says, give me an answer. I demand of you an answer. And Job says, I have spoke of things I have no understanding. You're too wonderful. There's nothing I can say. When you and I see God for who he is, everything else that bothers us makes us think, boy, I bet I bother God. Have you ever considered that? When somebody gets around you and they bother you? I should have told my brothers this years ago. If you knew who God was, you wouldn't be so bothered by me. Our problem is we don't view God. We view things from our perspective. But from God's perspective, do you have the right to salvation? Do you have the right to eternal life? Do you have the right to any blessings that God gives you? Do you have the right? You know what should always be said? Anything good happens, like, God is so good, I can't believe he would bless me. And here has become our attitude. I hope you're listening, because it became the attitude of the Israelites. And this is all free right here. It became the attitude of the Israelites, and it became the attitude of Job, and it became the attitude and it's become the attitude of modern day Christians. Well, when I do right, God blesses me, and I deserve blessings because God promised them. That's exactly what we say. Instead of this, wait a minute. God is holy. God is just. God is right. God is creator. God can't look on sin. Why would God bless me? Why would he visit me? I deserve nothing. Nothing. Well, fine. Go ahead and get it. If all I have is salvation, that's way more than I could ever hope for. When I look at God through the eyes of Scripture, I can't help but say, what is man? It says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 28, God said, you have dominion over the fish of the sea. You have dominion over... He was giving it to before fallen Adam. While Adam was sinless, he gave it to him. And he said, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Understand this. Listen. Man and animal blood and genes are not same. We didn't evolve. The reason man was given dominion wasn't because he was given a brain. That's evident. It's because God made him different. He made him in his likeness. He gave him dominion over the earth on purpose. What you eat, if you're going to eat meat today, don't feel bad. God gave you dominion over that. Well, Brother Ron, He gave us dominion over, but what happened? We sinned. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That destroyed all of those things in those verses between verse number 4 through 8. All of those things, we have dominion, but now remember, do you remember after the flood, after God judged the earth, what happened? The animals went crazy. Of course, the people were already there. Do you know that God had to kill an animal to cover Adam and Eve? Creation suffered because of us, and yet God still visited us. And that's the key thing that we're going to major on as we review this. And this is the last point. So we need to consider God, that He is God. We need to consider God, that He is our Lord, that He desires that. We need to consider God, that God has the right to dictate to man exactly who and what or what he expects and our actions, because we do not deserve anything from God. But finally, here's what you need to know. God knew that man was going to mess up. So this psalm can be more encouraging about our relationship with God than just what David says about the plain things of this world. Okay, great, we have dominion over the animals. We were given the right to do that. We've been given the instruction and how to do it. But what God gave us more than that is in this psalm is an eternal hope. So when you look at this, you go, how is that possible? First of all, as we read through, did you notice anything in there that would make your mind kind of think, well, this isn't happening in the world. Are we a little lower than the angels? Were we? No. We were much lower than the angels. Who was he talking about there? Who was he talking about the visitation there? God visited us. God with us. Emmanuel, we just went through that whole season. What is it? What is this really talking about? It's really talking about when Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom, those who are born again, those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and he is their Lord and he is their God, those people will have dominion over the earth. They will rule and reign for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ, because we can't do it in ourselves. When you and I got saved, our position changed on this planet and in the future. Let's just turn to some verses here. Ephesians chapter number 1. We're going to be mostly in the New Testament because it gives really good explanation. So Ephesians chapter number 1. And in the Hilltopper Sunday School class today, my dad said this, and it's absolutely true. If you don't read the Old Testament, you can't reconcile the New Testament and without the Old Testament. Because it makes much more sense. So Ephesians chapter number 1 says this, verse number 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is Paul talking about praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's Psalm 8. The inheritance. Listen, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. If you're not saved in here, you don't fit into Psalm 8. Because you need something. You need Jesus Christ. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know who he's talking about? Jesus Christ. No Jesus Christ, no dominion. Why? Sinful man cannot have dominion. Why? He's dominated by the world. Why is the world in such disarray and quickly moving closer and closer to destruction? Because that's what normal men do without Christ. There's no sense in us sitting around wondering what's going on, because that's what happens. No Christ, all you have to do is read the Bible up until the time of Noah. Man got so evil, God had to wipe the place out. And guess what he's going to do? Man's going to get so evil that God's going to wipe the place out again, only this time he's going to do it with fire, and it's going to be permanent. Why? Because he's God. We don't think like this. We're trying to hold on to everything in the earth, and the Bible says that these things are going to burn up. So what manner of people should we be? Well, if we're thinking about God and who he is, I'm not thinking about Brother Mark being a wicked sinner. I'm not judging him. I want him back. I want him enjoying the blessings of God. I want him reconciled to God. I'm not trying to figure out how to correct. I'm trying to figure out how to heal. Because that's what God did. He visited us with Jesus Christ. Do you think of him day in and day out like this? I know this. I know how it is to sit and listen and go, oh, get anxious. Oh, man, it's getting so close to getting time to get out. And I've sat here as long as I can. And, man, the kids won't stop, calm down. And I don't know what to do. We get so distracted by everything in the world. I think Brother Ryan used the word this morning in men's prayer meeting. Now I can't remember. It was something to do with infodemic. Yeah. Where we're so inundated with information that it distracts us so much we don't even know what to think about anything. Our ideas are formed by information. Shouldn't our primary focus be on God, so that we can focus in the right area and be changed by him who's provided a way to change through Christ Jesus? Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Just over a few pages. Let this mind be in you, which was also in verse number 5. Also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Do you see what Jesus Christ gave us whenever he humbled himself as a servant and was made in the likeness of men? Did you read there what the Bible says about how he should be praised to the glory of God? That his name should be exalted above every name? Wait, what does Psalm 8 say? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in the earth. Oh boy. Now, is that happening right now? Is Jesus Christ's name excellent in the world and in the earth? No. Christianity is being attacked more and more in America. But what, if you've been paying attention, it's being more and more attacked out in the world, in places that are not America. People can't meet openly like this. Wow, how excellent is his name? Well, that's not going to be known until he's sitting on his throne, ruling with a rod of iron, and sin is judged instantly. Then his name will be above every name. But did you catch this? This is actually, this jumps off the page. It says, God has also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee. What is that word? It doesn't say is going to bow. I know, mistakenly, I have preached this and say, I'll tell you there's a day coming when everybody's going to bow to Jesus and they're not going to be... Well, there is a day coming when that's going to happen, but you know what should happen to the people who know Jesus now? Our knee should bow. And our tongue should confess Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. Why? Because his name is above every name. Can I say we as Christians are not given to this kind of thinking? We don't think like this. Jesus is not the first thought in our mind, and thinking like Jesus is not the first thing in our mind. Otherwise, we wouldn't be so inundated with so much junk in just church. We're very busy. We're very busy thinking everything else but Jesus Christ. We're very busy thinking everything but the Lord God Almighty. And we have become people that think we deserve, when in fact the only person that should be bowed to is Jesus Christ. Because his name is excellent in the earth. We know Christ's work is excellent, and that all things in verse that are prophesied in the Old Testament, that are fulfilled in Jesus in the New Testament, cause you and I to become associated with the one who fulfilled the prophecy. And the Bible says this about us, that we are heirs, joint heirs in Romans chapter number 8. So how should we act? To whom should we direct our worship? What should we think? Well, we should think about God. We should think about Jesus Christ. We should quit thinking about things that are going to distract us from that. We should realize our position in Jesus Christ right now is solid. It's set. If you're saved, you are a person who is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Not only that, you're going to live in heaven for all eternity. You're actually going to be able to go in and out of heaven as you will in passing through solid materials just like Jesus. Because as he is, we're going to be. But right now, what manner of people should we be? We should be the people who end like this. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What do you focus on most on this earth? I think if I went around and I said, have you accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior? Yes, I have. What are you looking forward to? I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm going to have eternal life. Some of the of us older people would say, I'm looking forward to not having any more pain. I'm looking forward to no more dying. Some of us would say, I'm looking forward to being with Jesus. Some, there might be many things that we would say about heaven. Boy, I'm looking forward. But let me ask you, what are you looking at and toward on this earth? What consumes your thought processes? Where is your focus? In this psalm, it begins and ends with the Lord our Lord. Do you begin every day thanking God that he let you wake up? I mean, even if you don't want to wake up, you're supposed to thank him. Why? You woke up. Have you considered that everything else, all this stuff on earth, is just noise? It is going to burn up. There used to be a real heart attitude in Christians, in churches, not only living for eternity, but making sure that we were preparing ourselves and any person we met to face eternity. Why? Because we did agree with, and this isn't something new, and it shouldn't be something new, but we agreed that God had mercy on us, and people who find mercy are supposed to share where they found the mercy. And as we have, as we read our Bible, do you read it to find more about how excellent God is? Or do you read it just to say you read it? Well, how will I know? You'll know by your response to things. That's exactly how you'll know. I can't judge it, and I won't. But if you're a person who's negative all the time, you're not thinking of, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Why? Because God tells us the world's going to get terrible. Everything you need to know about where we're going is right there in that book. You know what should be an encouragement to you? That he knows. He knew before we even were thought of. He knew before the foundation of the world what man was going to make of this place. Are you a worrier? Then you don't look at the Lord as, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Are you a complainer? Then you're not looking at his handiwork going, oh, I better not complain. Look at who he is and who I am. There's no debating here that your mind changes when you see the Lord for who he really is. And I would challenge you, not trying to incite anyone or make you angry, I would just challenge you, especially, let's just say, from this point on in 2021, get a real good glimpse of God every day. And you will find your mind and attitude changes. You can't make your mind and attitude change, but he can. A lot of things become insignificant when you see how insignificant you are compared to God. So what is your view? Is your view this? Let's not do it on a surface. Or just go, oh yeah, flippantly that. Yeah, that. Because I can tell you right now, as I read this and studied it and realized it, I bowed my head. I said, Lord, I don't know that I ever think how excellent your name is. I don't know when I do it. So that must mean I don't. And I've determined every day, early, so that other people around me will enjoy the day too, I'm going to get my focus in the right place so that no matter what comes, it'll be thinking on how excellent our Lord is. Every head bowed, every eye closed.